This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Today on the On Aguirre podcast, Michael Tuip joins us to give his thoughts on Illinois and their Big Ten tournament title run, Terrence Shannon Jr.'s epic performance in Minneapolis, and what else we learned about the Illini as they head into the NCAA tournament. Mike also breaks down his thoughts on the Illini's draw as we are now in Omaha. We made it. As Illinois, number 3 seed, will take on number 14 seed Morehead State at around 2:10. p.m. Central Time on Thursday, first day of the NCAA tournament. What does he think about the Ohio Valley Conference champion Eagles out of Morehead State? What does he think about the potential second-round matchup against either BYU or Duquesne? Michael Tua breaks it all down, and we get you ready for the Illini's NCAA tournament appearance is this year. Illini get a prolonged run. Let's break down with Michael Tua next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, live from Omaha. Michael Tuip with me as we get set for the NCAA tournament. Mike, this never gets old, covering NCAA tournaments. We'll see. We'll talk about what you think of the draw for Illinois as the 3 seed in the East region playing Morehead State and potentially either BYU or Duquesne. But first, what a weekend in Minneapolis. I've said it on another pod. There's one thing I don't like about the Big Ten tournament is how the focus quickly switches from who wins the Big Ten tournament to the NCAA tournament draw. But I want to give some time to what happened there because it was a great weekend of basketball. Illinois coming back, 3 double-digit deficits, which isn't great, but find a way to dominate those second halves and win, and just epic performance from Terrence Shannon. So I'll let you go on this. What do you want to talk about from the Big Ten tournament? What encouraged you most from that title run?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it because I did post-game radio after that game, and I think the selection show happened. I mean, it was pretty instantaneous, it felt like. And I love that about the selection show, by the way, is that when the selection show starts, they're rolling, which is great. But, yeah, I mean, I think one of the most encouraging things outside – we'll get into Terrence, obviously, and his performance, but I was just encouraged by – you know, when you look at the resolve, right? You touched on coming back, being able to mount those comebacks in what felt like a blink of the eye. And in addition to that, you know, I guess ideally you don't want to put yourself in those situations, especially when you come into this tournament, because it's just a different beast. And but I will say you should be really encouraged by the contributions you got from a lot of guys. Because I think part of the notion of, well, you know, if we lose early in the Big Ten tournament, we're fine. We can rest up. But it's like, are your good players playing well? Did your best player just go 1-for-12, right? And now that's creeping into your mind going into the tournament. I thought everybody from obviously Terrence, Marcus, Coleman, Dane, Luke Goody, Ty Rogers, you go on down the list, there's just – a lot of guys that should be feeling really good heading into this tournament.
3 Big Ten titles, 2 tournament titles, 1 conference regular season share. Just what's that say about this program that Brad Underwood has built, Mike?
Well, look at, you know, they've done it kind of pre and post NIL, which I don't think a lot of schools can say that. Purdue's been extremely consistent too, but, you know, being able to sustain the success through all the turnover, right? When Io and Trent and Kofi and Grandison and DeMonte, when everyone kind of funnels out and you bring in this new wave of guys and you're able to sustain that, like not every program can say that. And last year you could look at, I don't know if you want to look at it as like a step back because you were replacing so much of your production. I mean, I think it was what 87% of your scoring and however many minutes, and you still go to an NCAA tournament. And not only do you go to an NCAA tournament, like you're pretty comfortably in. Whereas a lot of these teams in the Big Ten, when you look over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, Wisconsin was playing on Wednesday last year in the Big Ten tournament. Maryland was playing on Wednesday this year. You know, Michigan fell off a cliff. Ohio State's slid since you beat them in the Big Ten tournament back in 21. You know, there's a number of other teams. Rutgers has had, you know, these teams have had, Indiana has had years, right, a year where they flash over the last 4 or 5 years. But I don't think anything like what Illinois has done, where you've been able to have sustained regular season success, put yourself in position to be in the NCAA tournament, and then take home two titles in the Big Ten tournament. I think it's huge, and it speaks to the program and the culture that they've kind of, I think, gotten back to this year.
It's crazy. We were in the car doing a podcast, Mike, on the way here, and we're having this actual conversation of whose season was better, Io in 21 or Terrence in 24. So if you want to weigh in on that, you can't. But that tells you how good Terrence Shannon is, man. I hold that Io season in such high regard. And I remember talking to Kent Brown, Lauren Tate, guys who know this program, and they said Io's having the best season we've ever seen. The fact that Terrence is in there, at least scoring-wise, no one can touch him. I mean, 23 points per game is the most any Illini's had since the mid-70s and Nick Weatherspoon. But 102 points in three games at the Big Ten tournament, I think he's probably been the best basketball player in the country over the last 5-6 weeks, averaging 26 points on 48% shooting. But how do you put into context? Like, what does he mean right now to this team? What does he give this team right now?
Well, I mean, I hope people don't grow numb to it, because, I mean, just think about over the years where you're watching teams and you're like, imagine if we've talked about this before, like, imagine if we had a guy like that, yeah, right? And then you had that with Io. You had that with Kofi to a degree as well. And then you have that with Terrence. I've never seen anything like that, what he did in the Big Ten tournament. I'm not kidding you. I mean, that is – to play at the speed that he plays at for 3 days like that, and to be – and to still play at that speed, but shoot it the way he did, to defend on guys like Tominaga, and they put him on Hepburn late in that game. I mean, it's just, he does everything. And what's interesting about Terrence is, like, he does do everything, but he's not necessarily like your whole team. And I think that bodes well for Illinois going into the tournament. We'll dive into that. But yeah, man, I think it's certainly the best individual Illinois season I think I've seen since I've been alive. Really. Like, I mean, and Io was fantastic. And now that I'm kind of saying it out loud, it sounds wild, because, like, how many games Io closed out, I think, was.
Yeah. We were talking. Io was a better rebounder, for one. I think Terrence is a better defender. At least that season, I didn't think Io, like, I thought there was another level Io could have gotten to defensively. Io made his teammates distributed better. I think there was a leadership quality about Io, vocally, that Terrence has at times, but just not quite to that his level. The one reason I have given Io a little bit of maybe the edge is he was 2 years younger than Terrence is at this point. Yeah. So this is one thing I put in there. Like, he's only 1 year older than Terrence in real life. So, but I mean, we're splitting hairs here. Like, yeah, the fact that we've seen those two performances in the last 4 years is ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think the more you lay it out there, the more that I would probably actually give the slight edge to Io. You know, one seed that, you know, that year, as well, the triple doubles,
and tougher Big Ten,
tougher Big Ten. Now it's an interesting year because it was, you know, it was the COVID year, so, you know, that certainly factors into it. But, you know, you just felt good similar, I mean, with both these guys. Like, there's a comfort that you have when you have those guys on your team. And there's just a, like, both of them just have a dominance to them, especially in transition. I've made the point before where, like, they're both electric in transition. Iowa was more slippery. Mm-hmm. Like, he could kind of work his way around you. And Terrence is going through you, and he's shooting free throws. Yep. And so they do it in slightly different ways. But, I mean, I think you look back at that 21 season, and I think, like, the what helped Io was the fact that he didn't have to be so ball dominant because you had Curbelo. Mm-hmm. So, like, you could play Io off the ball at times. You had Trent, right? Like, you could play him off the ball to where he didn't have to be so high usage and wear himself down. And I think the same can be said about Terrence this year. Like, the fact that you have a Marcus Damask where he can come in, and Terrence can – honestly, I'd rather Terrence rest on the offensive end than on the defensive end. Yeah. And you have a guy in Marcus that allows you to be able to do that. So, either way, you said it, man. You're splitting hairs. But the fact that, like you said, last 4 or 5 years you've had two guys like this, and you've had, what, now 3 All-Americans?
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, it's just a heck of a run for Brad Underwood and the talent he's brought into this program. It's a fun conversation to have, and if Terrence continues this kind of run, Illinois is going to go far in the tournament. Maybe we can have this conversation again.
And he can stamp it, right? Like, he can stamp it if they make a deep run, Elite Eight, Final Four, and beyond. The edge may have to go to Terrence at that point. Yeah,
I agree with you. Any encouragement about the defense, Mike? It's been a bad defense for most of the last 2 months, but it felt like when they needed stops late in games, they found a way to get some stops, and they played much better in the second halves defensively than the first half. So any encouragement about the defense?
I'm encouraged. I think I'm encouraged by the adjustments that were made, because I think each game had a different adjustment, particularly in the Nebraska game when you're sitting in drop and Rink Mast is killing you. You're able to go, hey, second half, his dribble handoffs, his pick and pops, we're going to switch him. AJ Storer hurt us in the first half. Second half, let's switch his ball screens, dribble handoffs. And, like, being able to do those things, I think, has helped them. We've seen them, you know, not even in certain games, but in certain halves, just be able to dial it up. And, I mean, I guess I'd rather have a team that could do that than that can't do it at all. But, mm-hmm. You're still, I think, waiting for that full 40-minute defensive effort. And if it came, it would be coming at the right time in this tournament. So, yeah, I mean, I think these matchups that you have, right, particularly, you know, starting with Morehead, like these teams, and if you advance and play a BYU, like, those teams are going to force you to communicate because of how much stuff they run. So – you can't be bad communicating, busting switches. Like, these aren't the teams to do that against. So I think they're going to be challenged in that area, but it was encouraging to see that mid-game you could make the right adjustments and pull the right strings. And I just feel like there's, you know, when you look at Ty Rogers and Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins, you know, and even Marcus Damask and Quincy at times, like, they're still good individual defenders on this team. It's just like continuing to bring that all together. And the one thing that I think I've been encouraged by as well is, you know, at one point they were switching kind of 5 ways, and then they abandoned the switching to just keep matchups. And now they're still keeping matchups, but if there's a particular area that's hurting them, then they switch that. Mm. So, like, and that takes communication, because it's not just, hey, switching 5 ways, I don't care who comes up and sets the screen, we're just all switching. You have to talk, because depending on the matchup, it may be a switch, it may not be a switch, go under, not go under. That's all got to be talked out during the games.
Dane Danger bookended that Big Ten tournament with two ridiculous, great performances off the bench. What is that version of Dane Danger that you can have that if you need it? What does that mean for Illinois?
Well, it's huge. I mean, I think certainly it helps them defensively. I think as a guy that can kind of clog the lane, I've been so impressed with his activity and his engagement on that end. I mean, you saw when he checked in against Wisconsin, like, he's got both hands out, you know, his seven whatever wingspan, both hands out, pointing, talking, head on a swivel. And just there's, I think part of it for college kids, there's like a confidence that comes when you're doing the right thing offensively, and you feel like you're seeing the ball go through the basket a little bit. Now you feel like you're kind of more in the game. And he's just, he was just so much more engaged on the defensive end. And we've talked about his production and what it means. And I think moving forward, right, like to have a confident Dane Danger that you can throw in different games depending on the matchup, right? Like if you have, you know, a really good four man that, you know, you want to put, maybe put Coleman Hawkins on and slide everybody down, put Dane Danger in where he can guard the five so that you don't have Quincy Guerrier in ball screen coverage and, you know, sitting there and drop, that's something that you can do. And I'm not sure you could say that 2-3 months ago. He just had to kind of figure things out, and he's done that. And I think the telltale sign for me to see that Dane is like playing within himself, engaged, is the fact that one, you play 20 minutes against Ohio State, you then play 6 minutes against Nebraska. It's just not a good matchup with Mass and, the, and they, how they stretch the floor and what they run. And then you come back in the title game and play 23 minutes and you go 4-for-4 from the field. You make your free throw on the and one. You have 7 rebounds. You have 2 offensive rebounds. And then through the 50-ish minutes that you played in the tournament, you had 1 turnover. Mm-hmm. Like all that, that's really high level for Dane. And that's got to continue moving forward because he can be such an asset.
And just on that question before we dive fully into the matchup in the NCAA tournament here, Mike, do you feel like Illinois, after that weekend, like do you feel better about they have more counters, more options than they have in the previous couple NCAA tournaments?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you have one source of scoring output or one method of scoring, that's a problem when you get to March. Because if you're relying on one guy, it's part of the reason why BYU could never really make it really far with Jimmer, because it was just really just Jimmer, right? Steph was an anomaly. But yeah, like you can't have one thing that teams can take away. And I think when you look at this Illinois team, how good they are in transition, particularly Terrence, right? If you want to go 5 out and spread a team out, you can do that with Coleman. If you want to go 4 out, 1 in, you can do that with Dane and put like a true post presence in there. You know, if you want to go to back downs and just, you know, bring the pace back into your hands, you can do that with Marcus Damask and you can play off of that. We've seen them go to that. It's kind of, he's been kind of like the, I don't want to, you're more of a baseball guy, like a middle reliever, if yeah. you will. Where like he's almost like the 6th, 7th, 8th inning guy where you're going to the back downs with like 12 minutes left in the second half, 10 minutes left in the second half to kind of just make sure you own the pace in that game. And then you have guys like Terrence Shannon closing things out. Damask has kind of done the same this year. And then, you know, I look at just what you're able to do on the glass as well. Like the offensive glass has been a form of offense for them. And Ty Rogers has been so good on that end. And I thought he was, shoot, I mean, you want to talk about an unsung hero mm-hmm. in that Big Ten tournament. And I look at, you know, I think I always try to think about, you know, there's all these people that fill out brackets. A lot of people probably watching that title game that, you know, maybe they're SEC fans or they're Big 12 fans. And maybe this is like that was their first sit down glimpse at Illinois. And you're probably like, well, it's just Terrence Shannon. Mm-hmm. And then you see the stats pop up on the screen and it's like, oh, he had 28, then he had 40, then he had 34. It's like, well, we just got to stop this guy. And this team is more than that. And I think that's to me what makes them so dangerous is they're not one dimensional with the person that they get scoring from. And they're not one dimensional with how they get that scoring.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Mike, here in Omaha, Illinois, the top seeded in their pod. Of course, the number three seed. I got Morehead State on Thursday. We'll also talk a little bit about BYU Duquesne here a little bit. But obviously, the last time Illinois won a Big Ten tournament, they had a letdown, right? The last couple teams that have won the Big Ten tournament have had a letdown in the NCAA tournament. Take us in as a player when you have a success like that in a conference tournament or something like that. How do you avoid that? And do you feel like, this team was able to go home, celebrate, reset, unlike the last team for Illinois that did it. But how do you avoid that letdown mentally, and how do you handle the NCAA tournament and everything that comes with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it shouldn't creep into the minds of like a tough, connected team. I think for them, it should be like, shoot, we want more confetti to fall on us, mm-hmm. right? I don't want this to be the only moment that we have that's celebrating and embracing each other. And honestly, I'd be excited if I was them, because this whole narrative of like, Big Ten tournament, you don't want to win it. Like, I'm glad it's in our hands, right? It's in our hands to change that. It's in our hands to say, no, actually you can go win three games in this tournament, cut down nets, and then go in the NCAA tournament in advance as far as you want to go. Part of it with the NCAA tournament is that it's a unique, like the schedule's unique. And if you have older guys, which this team has now, a few of these guys have never played in the NCAA tournament. Marcus Damask. I mean, I thought like in that first Big Ten tournament game, I was like, hold on. He's missing layups. But he figured it out. I think he settled in. And I think that's my point from earlier. If Marcus Damask, if you lose to Ohio State, and Marcus Damask goes 3-for-16. Like, is he going into the NCAA? I like to think that, he's a tough kid, so I'm sure he could reset. But college kids, man, you're like, man, 3-for-16. I'm going to turn. Like, I got to figure it out. Like, you don't want to be figuring things out when you get to this tournament. So, I think back to when we went to the tournament. We should have gone to a 3-16. Mm-hmm. Frustrating. But you have the open practice the day before, and it's not. Maybe it is with Brad Underwood, I don't know, but like, it's not typically like a real practice. It's just kind of, you get up and down, you shoot a little bit. And so I think the mental prep is really important for this. And particularly when you play a Morehead State, or if you advance and play a BYU, like, it's all personnel. It's all, who are we guarding? What's our coverage? Like, that's more what this tournament becomes about. Well, it's that, and it's just like, you just have to play your butt off, man. And then just like, let the chips fall. You can't overthink in this tournament. You want to be in tune with the scout and all that. But, I think back to when we played, like, for any Illinois fans, like, go back and on YouTube, there's like the full Miami game that we played in the round of 32. Man, I mean, I was like so proud to be a part of that team, because those guys just, we're ready to go to war. Tracy Abrams and Sam McLaurin and Brandon and DJ, and Griffey was awesome in that game. Bertrand was like, you go on down the line, like, every single one of those guys was willing to just like die on that court. charges and diving on loose balls and walling up. And it was that's why when we lost that game, like, we were still somewhat proud of what we did, because we, you know, we left it all out there. And that's one thing in this tournament you don't want to do, is feel like, man, we had a little more to give. So that's got to be the thought process. It's not about the Big Ten tournament. I mean, it's not like you'd be the first Big Ten tournament champion to advance. We've seen the history. I've gone through it. If anything, in the 2010s people, one team did not make it to the second weekend. One Big Ten tournament winner did not make the second weekend. It was 2-seed Michigan State that lost Middle Tennessee State in the opener. Other than that, everyone went to the second weekend. So you should be feeling pretty good about yourselves.
Well, to get there, Mike, you got to win your first game. Illinois 3-seed against number 14-seed Morehead State. Illini 11.5-point favorite over the Ohio Valley Conference champion. Riley Minix, really good player, looks like. But what do you think of this matchup against Morehead State?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge. Just like every matchup in this tournament, everyone has won their, you know, either won their conference tournament or is, you know, has played to a level that they're capable of, and they've made it to the tournament. They're feeling good. Everything feels like reset. Everyone has this newfound hope. We can be the team. And that's what you're up against. And for Morehead, they're a good team. They're tough. They, you know, Preston Spradlin runs a lot of good stuff. I mean, they run more sets than what it feels like anyone in college basketball. They will run a set every time down the court. And they'll try to free up Minix, who is so good in post-up situations. I mean, it's a lot like Damask in a way. He's a little bit bigger than Marcus, but the way that they try to – we'll show it in the film, but like the way they try to get him available, they'll run like little wedge screens to get him in the long post. They'll – cross screens on the baseline. They'll do little choice actions, meaning, hey, you know, I'm going to show like I'm coming down off this pin down, but I got somebody over here that's actually setting a cross screen for me to come across. And like, you just have to, like, communication's got to be at an all-time high against Morehead State. I mean, we saw them, they went to Indiana. I mean, they got blasted by Purdue. Penn State ran them out of the gym. They went to Indiana, and I went back, and I actually was watching that game live. I went back and watched it again. Indiana was bad. That was one of the worst games Indiana's played all year, which is saying something. Mm-hmm. But they're fearless. Like that's the group that you're going up against. So you have to be able to communicate. And I feel like this type of matchup, if you were to win it, which I expect Illinois to win it, it's a good precursor to, you know, these potential next matchups that you would have, because BYU runs a lot of actions, right? And if this first round can get you communicating and get you used to that, then that should bode well moving forward. But yeah, I mean, this is just like all these 14 seeds, 13 seeds, 12, like they all have hope. They all think they're going to be the team, and you gotta show in the first 5-10 minutes that it's not their night.
Yeah, what do you think of this path, Mike? I mean, Morehead State, potentially BYU, Duquesne. After that, Iowa State, obviously UConn down the line if you get there. But what do you think of the path, and how do you feel about this team heading into this NCAA tournament?
I feel really good about them. We said it before the Big Ten. You asked me that same question before the Big Ten tournament. I felt really good, because now your offense has moved up to second in the country. And although your defense isn't necessarily where you want it to be, like, I look at their offense as a form of defense. Because if you can score, then you can go set your half court defense. You don't have to worry about transition as much. But I'll be dead honest, man. I like the path. I do. Like, I saw a lot of people talking on X, like, oh, of course, you know, again, you know, this is, man, get through Morehead, get through BYU. Like, this is what this tournament is. And I'll say, the 1 year with Houston, that was crazy. Mm-hmm. Houston being a 5-seed was nuts. But, you know, you got a BYU team that is their second lowest in the country in rim rate and baskets around the rim. You know, they're poor in transition defense because they shoot a lot of threes and there's long rebounds. Like, I think these first two matchups are good matchups for Illinois, but you have to still bring it. Like, you can't have the first half that you had against Nebraska, where it's just no bite, disengaged. Like, these teams, they play contrasting paces in a way, but, you know, like, they can still hurt you. And so you don't want to spot them 12 points in a tournament like this. So, but look, I'm feeling great about them. I think their region, right, the East region, I mean, it's a gauntlet. It's a gauntlet. But the beauty of, like, regions as a whole is that you don't have to play every team. Some of those teams got to play each other. I mean, you look at UConn and Auburn, like, let them play each other. You know, like, UConn's got to go through Auburn. And Auburn's playing really well right now. They're one of the only teams in the country that's top 10 in both offensive and defensive efficiency on KenPom. And if you're UConn, you're like, shoot, we got to play them. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, look at Northwestern and look at FAU. And, like, that's not an easy second-round opponent for UConn either. I'd expect them to win that game.
Yeah.
But both of them are just kind of, like, muck-it-up type of teams. But I like their, you know, pods down there, because I like, for me, the jury's still out on Iowa State. You know, they've been really good at Hilton all season. Same can be said about BYU. BYU was great at the Marriott Center. They just weren't great away from home. And then Iowa State goes and plays in Kansas City in the Big Ten tournament, draws a large crowd, and they'll travel. But I don't know. It's to me, it's all right there. It's all right there, but you have to take it one game at a time with Morehead. Tackle that one. Feel good about yourself, and then move into a BYU or Duquesne if they're throwing Keith Dambrode a great going away party as he retires.
That's right. Mike, any final thoughts before we tip this off in the NCAA tournament?
Who's your final four?
Oh, I haven't even done a bracket, man. It's been driving from
we talked about this. You didn't fill a bracket out last year, right?
I did last year, and it felt freeing, Mike. It felt freeing that I wasn't rooting for a team I put in my bracket rather than an upset. So yeah. I don't know if I'm going to fill out a bracket again this year. Like, if I had to pick a Final Four, I'd probably have UConn in there. I still like Tennessee. I know they haven't gone that far, or they haven't played as well here towards the end of the season. I really like Creighton. I think they're in the same bracket as Tennessee, aren't they? But I really like those teams. That Kentucky's got a really nice path. I mean, with Houston kind of banged up, I really like that Houston team, but Kentucky's got a nice path. But those are some of the teams I kind of like going into this. But I'm with you, Mike. Like, if I had to fill out a bracket, I might have Illinois in the Elite Eight. And I'm not trying to jinx them or anything, but I just think Terrence Shannon and Marcus Damask are such a handful. And if you get contributions from these other guys, like if you can get two of those other guys to have really good games, I think Illinois is a tough out. Like, I think Coleman Hawkins is going to have one big game here, like in Omaha. And it's going to be tough if Illinois has Marcus Damask and Terrence Shannon playing at a high level and those other guys playing at a high level. So there's still defensive things that concern me, especially early in games. As you said, they got to lock in. BYU reminds me of an Iowa or Nebraska, or like, they can go off. So you got to be able to get over screens, battle, and, you know, really test yourself through that. But I don't want to look too much into one Big Ten tournament title run, but I think there's been 2 months of pretty damn good basketball for Illinois outside of some late issues against Penn State and Michigan State. Then you lost a game to Purdue that you didn't play all that well, and you still had a chance to win. Right. So I just feel good about how this team's played, you know, since Terrence Shannon has become this version of Terrence Shannon.
Yeah, well, I'd agree. And a fun stat for, you know, if you do end up advancing and playing BYU, Terrence Shannon has shot more free throws than the top three free throw attempt guys on BYU combined.
He had 44 free throw attempts in Minneapolis, Mike.
Yeah. I think he's at like 240 something. And I think all three of the top guys for BYU are at like 70, 70, 70. Like, they just don't, they're like one of the last teams in the country in free throw attempts.
I was just looking over our boy, Derek Burson's notes. 31 points is the NCAA tournament record for points in a game.
31,
Darren Williams in 2004 against Cincinnati. I have a pretty good feeling Terrence Shannon's going to beat that, mostly because of free throws.
Marcus Damask could beat that.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, yeah, I mean, but Terrence could get there as well. It's no, man, it's interesting. I filled out a bracket. It's not finalized. How much do you agonize
over your bracket?
So when it comes out initially, like I'll give a gut, you know, run through, but it's never, it'll change 7-8 times throughout the week.
Yeah.
Like this is the overthinking period, from Sunday to Thursday. And I just, the issue for me is that the South and the Midwest, so the right side of the bracket, I'm kind of uneasy putting anyone in the title game, like literally anyone in the title game from that side of the bracket. Like Tennessee makes me uneasy.
Yeah.
Purdue in a way makes me uneasy, right? Like I just feel like they're going to have to win it. They're going to have to win a game with Zach Edey in foul trouble. If they're going to go this far, they're going to have to do it at least once. Mm-hmm. And so how healthy is Braden Smith, right? How healthy is Tyler Kolek for Marquette? You know, Kentucky is just, I've been on this all year where like they worry me because of how young they are.
Yeah, sure.
That showed itself in the SEC tournament. And my initial first run through, I had NC State beating Kentucky in the round of 32 and advancing. But like, you know, maybe I'll make that Texas Tech. I don't know. But
yeah.
part of the bracket, what sucks about it is like you see your inherent biases. Like I've had this theory on Kentucky all year. So I'm like, I can't have this theory on Kentucky and then have them go to the Elite Eight. But then the bracket falls the way it falls. And you're like, well, then it's going to look ridiculous if I have them losing the round of 32 with this particular draw. So
right.
I don't know. I mean, then like there's like inherent Big Ten bias too. Mm-hmm. Like I went through the bracket and I just like was clicking teams. And then I looked and I was like, shoot, I have every Big Ten team winning. Now I think the one that I didn't have was Michigan State. That sounds probably par for the course after all of our conversations.
Yeah.
But I do like Nebraska to beat A&M. I actually, you always sound crazy. I have Wisconsin going to the Sweet 16, beating Duke.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Like I'm sick of James Madison. Like the way I saw Chucky Hepburn playing, like AJ Storr, we've seen this. Yeah. But Chucky Hepburn's Big Ten tournament was so encouraging to me. Like their guard play. Yeah, I was gonna say Klezmet, Storr, and Hepburn playing at a really high level. I mean, Crowell's a really good player. Tyler Wall had a bad weekend, but he's a tough kid, and I think he can bounce back. So I like the way Wisconsin's playing as a 5 seed.
Yeah, it's a tough draw. James Madison's really good, but I think they win that game. Everybody's talking about like who's, you know, what are the 12-5 upsets going to be. I have Grand Canyon over St. Mary's. I can't get there. I think people are way too – I mean, the committee obviously isn't, but people are, like, really poo-pooing Gonzaga. And
that is a juicy draw for McNeese State.
McNeese is the pick and all that. I think Gonzaga wins that game. And then McCullough is out for Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think Kansas wins that game over Samford. But it feels like one of those – it feels like there may be an upset in one of those two games. It's just about picking the one that you think will happen.
All right, so I'm doing this. Oh, man. Creighton, Tennessee would be, like, one of my favorite games potentially on this entire thing. Going through here, it looks like I'm going to end up with Marquette and Tennessee or Creighton would be my pick. I got to pick that one. And then I would have UConn and probably North Carolina. I like North Carolina's draw here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think a team that I'm going back and forth on, not necessarily making them my national champion, but I like them to make it to a Final Four because they're in the perfect spot right now where like no one's really talking about them, but they're still really talented. They've been kind of like lying in the weeds for the last few weeks, Arizona.
Yeah.
I just think that Caleb Love, we saw what he did with North Carolina a few years back and what he can do in the tournament, how explosive he is. I think they got a lot of other really good pieces that can play in different ways. And I've had conversations with people around college basketball that they're like, no, like Arizona, I don't see it. I'm like, all right, that's going to be my pick down there to make it out of the West. I'll say that. I think Arizona is going to make it to the Final Four. The East, You need to give me like another day. Like I don't know. I currently have Illinois in my Elite Eight. It's just a matter of that UConn Auburn game. I think UConn's going to be tough to beat. I think Illinois can beat Auburn. Yeah. So
with you.
We'll see. It's that time of year.
All right, let's do it. Michael Tuip, you're the goods, man. We'll have our film room breaking down. And if Illinois advances, you will break down Morehead State before this. And we'll also advance the next potential opponent as well as Illinois potentially moves forward in this NCAA tournament. Michael Tuip, you're the goods, man. Appreciate it as always.
Appreciate it.
Great stuff from Mike. Appreciate that. We'll have a film room up on Morehead State here shortly. And then Derek Piper, Joey Wagner, and I are headed to Shy Health Center later today to talk with the players and get you ready for the NCAA tournament. They'll have an open practice the fans in Omaha can see here at about 1:15. And then we tip it off about 24 hours later as Illinois tries to avoid the upset. I did see this. Illinois is 2-2 all time against 14 seeds as a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. In 1985, the Illini beat Northeastern 76-57. In 1987, the infamous loss to Austin Peay, 68-67 in that one. First round in 1988, 3 seed Illini beat Texas San Antonio 81-72. And in 1997, Tennessee Chattanooga beat Illinois 75-63. So it tells you, these aren't givens. And Morehead State plays good basketball. They can really shoot it. So Illinois is still going to have to be on its game. But the Illini provide plenty for Morehead State to be concerned about as well. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Of course, we will have the post-game podcast after the NCAA tournament. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast, wherever you get us. Follow us, rate us, review us. We appreciate that. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe, hit the like button, hit the notifications bell as well. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. Happy NCAA tournament. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.